We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like today is just, my whole week has been flipped, turned upside down. So it doesn't feel like Friday. It doesn't feel like anything. It feels like I'm coming in working on a vacation day is honestly is what it feels like. It feels like I'm working on a Christmas night with producer Mike. Kind of rhymed a little bit. I just saw this online. Can I just complain about this for 10 seconds? If you're an outie, don't wear tight shirts. Come on now. Come on now. If you're an outie, God made you an outie, don't wear a tight shirt so that thing's poking out. Please. All right, end of rant. That's all I needed. We'll keep the phone lines open in a little bit. We'll keep them closed for now, but I want you to think about what you want to talk about tonight. 314-436-7900 if you want to text in the meantime. Joining us now, the co-founder of Metaforce, also the new book out, Shift Ahead, How the Best Companies Stay Relevant in a Fast-Changing World. Alan Adamson, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How many trade magazines and trade emails and websites do you check a day?
Too many.
Yeah, constantly scrolling, looking on your phone. There's so many updates of everything. Everyone's so interested what's going on. And then you add on top of that, there's some companies that have like Playboy owners like Elon Musk, and it adds a whole different layer and dynamic to everything.
Exactly. You know, there's just most people are just buried in too much information.
Yeah, that's hard to disconnect anymore. But we have a fascination with some brands that we love, and it's funny because some brands could fall by the wayside, ones that we remember from our childhood that we thought would be invincible, like Toys R Us just going out of business this year. And then there's some that find ways to adapt, and that's kind of what you look at. You like to look at why companies, why they make changes in order to adapt, and then you look at the failures and successes.
Yeah, we looked at over 100 companies and, you know, reviewed why some were successful at shifting their business ahead and others were not. And unfortunately, you know, there were many, many ways to fall behind and not that many ways to stay successful. Lots of them, you know, suffer from the same challenges.
Mm-hmm. What kind of challenges are those?
You know, one of them is just realizing human nature. You know, to some extent, we're all like Marty Crane in the old TV show Frasier. Uh-huh. You know, we're just more familiar with the past. Mm-hmm. And we go to the office or go to the job every day and we do what we did yesterday, and we're just more comfortable doing what we did yesterday than changing and doing something different tomorrow. And so most people need to realize that just by sitting at their desk, they're falling behind.
Yeah. You know, your website, shiftaheadbook.com, people can find out information about that, too. Let's talk about some of these different brands. And you've seen, really, is the Super Bowl still one of your most exciting times where you get to see all these different ads unveiled?
Yeah, it's always fun to look at advertisers during the Super Bowl. And, you know, they struggle because there's so much pressure to say, hey, look at me, remember me, I'm funny, that itself is incredibly hard to do. But, yeah. You know, even if you get somebody to laugh at your commercial, that doesn't mean they're going to remember who you are or why they should care or, you know, or even why they should buy you.
You know, what are some of your favorite stories of companies that have changed for the better?
You know, there are many, many companies that I think I like stories that where you don't notice a change, but every year they manage to keep relevant. Mm-hmm. Apple is a pretty good example. Apple does lots of things right. And, it's not so much Apple's latest screen size or number of pixels in their picture or the weight and the battery life. You know, they're also innovating lots of ways consumers don't see, particularly at the store. If your phone doesn't work today, it's no longer an inconvenience. It's a mission-critical thing. And the last thing you want to do when your phone breaks is to, you know, press 1 to speak to someone, maybe press 2 to someone who will call you tomorrow. You want to go right in and have somebody fix it instantly. Yeah. So I think Apple has done a pretty good job of pivoting from a company that made hardware and software to one that's delivering an experience on almost every corner in America.
And you want to talk about someone that had a very well-known leader in front of their brand, like Steve Jobs, who passed away a while ago. It's been I can't believe how long he's been gone.
Yeah.
But sometimes you look at certain brands and you wonder, after it's almost the old philosophy, if someone gets hit by a bus, could the company still go forward? Now, even though Steve Jobs passes away, the company still flourishes. They're seeing a record amount of money come into the company still.
Yeah, and that's another thing we found is that, yes, shifting a company ahead required great leadership, but that's not a surprise. But it also requires a type of culture that people go to work and try new things and don't settle into Marty Crane's chair, that they're able to change and accustomed to doing new things. And many, many organizations don't have that sort of culture. They're just, they have either the massive middle, people are just too scared to do a change, or they're so risk averse that until they're absolutely sure, they can't make a decision, which is sort of what happened to Toys R Us. There were some parts of Toys R Us that was trying to be a high-end toy store where you could go and ask somebody what's the best toy for a 7-year-old boy, and you would get a good answer. And there were some who felt that, no, we need to be the cheapest and let's pile the toys to the ceiling. And those were two viable ways to go, but they spent a lot of time deciding, well, I'm not sure which way to go, and then doing both and not doing both either well, and they got beat on the price front by Amazon and Walmart, and on the high-end front by the little toy shop around the corner.
Alan Adamson joins us now on KMOX. ShiftAheadBook.com is the website, and you can check out Shift Ahead, how the best companies stay relevant in a fast-changing world. You keep mentioning Frasier. I like that because, you know, I'm in radio, so that's very, it feels at home to be able to talk about Frasier Crane. But I did identify with the dad a lot. I pretty much duct tape things until they could, you know, until they basically disintegrate. So if you find a chair at my house, the wife, I know she'll roll her eyes, but I'll bring the duct tape out if I need to. You know, I heard one thing about Toys R Us, and I think this is true. Back in the day when they would advertise, and you talked about how they stayed relevant and known for all those years. You used to be able to go in and talk to them and, you know, what's the best toy for a, you know, 7-year-old. But I heard that when all the other retailers were trying to undercut themselves and try to, like, you know, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that, Toys R Us was the one company that advertised always a little bit differently. So, like, let's say you'd see an ad for the biggest, hottest product, and since it was in demand, all the other companies would say, here's the price for it, you know, and Toys R Us would take it and sometimes advertise it for less, even though they would lose money on that product, because they knew that mentally people would see that and say, well, Toys R Us obviously has the best prices on everything if they have the hot toy and they can sell it for less. So there's a lot of, like, mental manipulation that goes on with these companies too.
Yeah, and that's a big thing coming up for this Thanksgiving with Black Friday. Lots of retailers will say, you know, come here and get this flat screen TV set for $75, and they'll lose their shirt on that flat screen TV set, but while you're in there, you'll probably buy 5 things you may not have needed at full price.
Yeah.
So Toys R Us did the same thing. They would advertise the hottest game. Mm-hmm. They had a big inventory, so most of the time they had it versus going there and finding out they don't have it.
Right.
But then when you were there, you would pick up 3 other things, maybe that weren't at rock-bottom prices.
So what are some of those companies that made the right decisions, at least in his mind? Alan Adamson, co-founder of Metaforce, in the book Shift Ahead, How the Best Companies Stay Relevant in a Fast-Changing World. That's up next on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We always like to follow some of the flashy companies and the things they're doing. But what are some of the smart things companies are doing, or maybe some of the hurtful things that they do for the long haul? Co-founder of Metaforce, Alan Adamson, joins us here on Overnight America. You know, what are some of those companies that made the wrong moves as of late that you've noticed?
Well, you know, every day you read about another one in the news. It's very painful to watch most of them. Sears is another retailer that, you know, I think people have been watching for years struggle, as lots of retailers do. But it used to be the place you go for everything. In fact, Sears was the original Amazon. It was a catalog that you would get at your home in a place which was perhaps not accessible to lots of stores.
Yeah.
And you could order everything from a lawnmower to a T-shirt.
Yeah.
and they sort of lost that ability to solve relevant problems and kept on selling off. And it's really hard to cost-cut your way back once you start closing stores, laying people off, having less merchandise, less inventory. It's really hard to turn around, which is another thing we found. Most companies wait too long until they're free-falling before they decide to try something new.
Yeah, it's funny with Sears. I did a topic the other night about Sears Homes. I didn't know you can order a home mail catalog style. They'll ship it to your house and you build it yourself. That was something
else.
They did everything like that. CVS was one a couple of years back, made some changes, and they wanted to comply with trying to get on the kick of getting people to stop smoking. They're going to stop selling certain products in their store. And that has paid off for them, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone can buy the same drug, aspirin, at the same price at 12 different places. But more and more consumers today are doing business with companies that they think are doing the right thing or behaving in the right way. And for a drugstore to say, not only are we going to help you get better when you're sick, but to say, gee, you know, we're going to help you stay healthy, and maybe that's a better way to go. And whether it's giving you, you know, flu shots or not selling you cigarettes, it starts to build loyalty, and you start to feel that, gee, if I can get aspirin in any corner, why don't I go to CVS because they're doing the right thing?
Why are we loyal to certain brands? There's a lot of fanaticism around certain brands that I don't understand, but some people are just deathly loyal to them.
Well, we're creatures of habit, and, you know, brands solve problems. So once you buy a car and you have a great experience with it and, you know, they treat you nicely and you enjoy driving it, before you try another car that may not do that, you'll go back to that first dealership and say, look, I had a great couple of years driving this car. What do you have that's new? So it used to be consumers used to be far more loyal, but as product differences have shrunk, you know, oftentimes now, well, that car looks roughly the same as the car I've got, but it's 10% less. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, and then there's certain brands that people haven't tried, but they still love. I'll use the car thing with Tesla. I don't know how many people I've met that have actually been inside of one, but I've met so many more that want one, and they're super in demand. I don't understand the appeal of them, but some people go crazy for them.
Yeah, well, you know, part of it is that scarcity makes people want things more. And they've, you know, until recently have not made too many, so having them available on every corner has not been possible, although they're getting there.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, what makes it intriguing is that it's different than every other car. You know, every other car, cars become more and more similar. They all have the same cup holder. The navigation sort of works the same way. The windshield wipers. You know, so over the years, the differences between cars, other than color, have continuously shrunk. And this is, you know, Tesla's the only car that you can drive that you don't ever see a gas station for.
Yeah.
And it drives like a golf cart, and it's quick, and it's almost like a computer on wheels. So it is so radically different than any other car that it's attracting attention.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Marty Crane. I'll bring him back just because of the love of Frasier and everything. But, yeah, I'm the guy that puts the duct tape on the chair. I'm also the guy that will fix a car until it disintegrates, until basically can't run anymore. So I have older cars.
Well, that's what's gone on in the car business. They finally solved the quality problem. And most cars, you know, last really long, and people are often trading them in, not because they're not working, because they get tired of them. But in a world where the if you look at a new car 5 years later, that's really the same thing you had before. Maybe it's shinier, maybe it has a few less nicks. It's still the same car. It's hard to get people to change when you're not innovating that much.
Yeah, it's so weird. I drive a 2004, and it looks like it belongs with the cars that are on the road today, even though it's, you know, almost 15 years later. If we were 1995 and we went back 15 years to 1980, it would look night and day difference between the way cars look.
Right, because the shapes of the cars are pretty similar. They don't change as often. And all the features, they all have the same stuff, and the drive very similar, which is why, getting back to your first point, that when somebody comes up with something totally different, like a battery in a computer that you drive, Tesla, you know, it attracts attention.
You know, What about the make or break moments where some companies have? And since we're talking about cars, we'll go back to DeLorean, and was in the news and some problems that the company was struggling, but it had that really unique look to it. And then you can look at some companies that have really well-known owners today, like an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos, things like that. Is having a very well-known face sometimes a curse for companies?
Well, it works both ways. You know, oftentimes the reason Jeff Bezos at Amazon and Elon at Tesla have succeeded is because, you know, one, they are able to make very long-term bets. You know, Tesla has been, it's not a new car, it's been out 6-7 years, they've been selling them, but, you know, they still only this quarter started to make money. Mm-hmm. And unless you've got that type of following or can instill that type of confidence, Wall Street usually only gives you 90 days to make money.
Yeah, you have to be able to back. Well, then the example of Papa John's, same thing. He was in all their commercials, and then it took one leaked phone call or whatever it was on a conference call, and next thing you know, the company's tumbling.
Yeah, success takes a long time, and you certainly can blow it very quickly today in the world of social media, because no one shares ordinary. They share either extraordinarily good, you got to drive that Tesla, it's amazing, or extraordinarily bad, don't go to Papa John's because this is what they believe in.
Yeah, then they start protesting and everything. It's the way the internet plays into it and social media. Things could just spread like a wildfire, even if it's not true. We saw like Wendy's a couple of years back, the finger in the chili that turned out not to be true, but they lost so much because of that in the social media and how fast it spread.
And it happens so fast. By the time you say it's not true, you've already lost thousands of customers because it took you 3 days to figure out that somebody was posting stuff online that wasn't true.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much a company has to deal with anymore today. So the website, shiftaheadbook.com, your book called Shift Ahead. Where can people, you know, of course they can go to your website, but I'm guessing they can find it on Amazon too?
Yeah, that's an easy place to find it, or the little shop around the corner might have it, or get it for you if you want to support a local retailer.
Yeah, that's great.
Any other places.
I like to call ahead. I'll call ahead and say, hey, do you have this book? And if they say, yeah, they normally say, yes, we have a copy. Normally, it's like one or two copies sometimes if it's a popular book. You just go in and pick it up. And there's a certain smell when you walk into a bookstore. I love it. It's a great experience. Plus, you get to talk to them.
And ironically, in the world of Shift Ed, Amazon is starting to open bookstores again. So who knows what will happen in a couple of years.
Alan Adamson, co-founder of Metaforce, in the new book, Shift Ahead, How the Best Companies Stay Relevant in a Fast-Changing World. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. That's kind of a fun one. I like talking brands. All right, what did I miss the last couple of days? What do you want to talk about? You know, I got the whole Michael Avenatti thing. Ooh, yeesh. That blow up pretty quick, huh? I wonder if there's still going to be the same love for him. The Democrats made it sound like he was going to be the savior of the party. Yeesh. Well, that's how that worked out. But a couple updates for you on that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. There is a text message that came in from our friend Judith. Let's see. I have a 2000 Mercury Sable station wagon, 358,000 miles. Wow. I do have paint tape holding the dome upholstery to the frame. It's my dog mobile. Wow, that's impressive. I would absolutely love getting up to 300,000 on a car. I'm most likely going to get to 200,000 next year on my 2004 vehicle, but boy, I don't know, 300,000 is a long way to go. Man, wouldn't that be an accomplishment? Welcome back to Overnight America. That's funny. We talk about brands and loyalty to brands. That made me loyal to GMC. They've treated me really well. Now, I've had some cars. Toyota was a good brand. I've had good Jeeps too in the past. So we're a little more flexible on the Thursday night into Friday morning, which is right now, 12:33 here in St. Louis, Missouri, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Oh, I wish I was here last night. The Michael Avenatti arrest, released from jail after posting bail in a felony domestic violence case. Here is Steve Futterman, CBS.
After being arrested and booked, Michael Avenatti posted bail and was released. As he left the police station, he denied the accusations.
I have never struck a woman. I never will strike a woman.
Yeah.
I have been an advocate for women's rights my entire career.
Police are giving few details about the case, including the name of the alleged victim. Police say the person who made the accusation had visible injuries. Steve Futterman,
Yikes.
CBS News, Los Angeles.
Here's the thing. I've never really liked him. I've always said that he is someone that's going to not just disappear, but go down burning in flames. And the funny thing is, with the interviews he's done, and he's done a million interviews on cable television, this is his bread and butter. What happens when none of the networks call him back or allow him on the stations anymore? You want to know what happens? He's done. The only way he had publicity was because these networks kept letting him on over and over and over and over again. There was a report that came out. Stunning new report shows that CNN and MSNBC gave lawyer Michael Avenatti over $175 million in media, earned media, they call it. So if they're trying to come up with, let's say, a price tag on, if you were to buy that airtime, how much it would cost, publicity sake, he was mostly just trying to go out there and really build up his brand. His publicity was for himself. You know, he had some sort of notoriety in that sort of way. You know, he had Stormy Daniels as his big client, so people wanted to talk to him. And on top of that, he was always trying to pimp himself as in, oh, I'm going to be the savior of the Democrat Party. I'm going to be the one to take Donald Trump down. And then you had Bill Maher have him on a show. Oh, you got to run for president. You can take down. You're like a left-wing Donald Trump or whatever. And they were so high on Michael Avenatti for the longest time. And he's, you know, St. Louis native here too. He even called it a Mark Reardon's program once. I just did not trust him ever. And one of his last clients, Swetnick, during the whole trial of Kavanaugh was a little bit fishy too. And he was like on the offensive. No one would ever find her uncredible because look at her background. Well, as it turns out, she's saying that Avenatti was not telling the truth based on her testimony, not representing her properly. Ooh, that doesn't look good. And then you even have Stormy Daniels coming out now saying that if he is found guilty of these domestic violence allegations or if it, you know, who knows what happens with these things. He was just bailed out of prison. Stormy Daniels said, oh, I'll find a new lawyer. What happens? What happens if your gift horse is gone? No pun intended. I didn't mean it like that. But what happens? Where would Michael Avenatti be if it wasn't for Stormy? Because all of his other clients have fizzled. He's lost lawsuits. He got vacated out of his space in California. He owes all kinds of back tax money. No, I'm sorry. You know, it's hilarious. All the people that thought this guy was going to be the one to take the Democrats into the promised land and beat Donald Trump and get him impeached and all of these things. Let's see. According to Newsbusters, I love that organization. I think they're great. Avenatti made appearances on CNN more than once per day during the time frame that the analysis was completed. So they went through transcripts. CNN 59 times on the air, more than one third of which were with Anderson Cooper, of course, interviewed Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes. I wonder if there's any, well, if you let me handle this over here, we'll get you on over there. As in, hey, I know how this works. We'll go ahead. We'll get you some more airtime. I wonder if there's any of those agreements going on. Yeah. Bail was set at $50,000. Let's see. Date of birth, February 16th, 1971, booked in a felony domestic violence charge. You posted bail, made that comment you heard there on CBS News. You know, it's funny, too. He tried to blame this on a person by the name of Jacob Wool. If you don't know who Jacob Wool is, he had some controversy not that long ago because he came forward to say that he had a woman that was ready to testify that she had been sexually assaulted by Mueller. Well, that didn't really pan out. There's a lot of question about this woman, and he didn't actually produce the woman at this press conference. So there was some really questionable things that were going along that way. And how is it that Michael Avenatti can say that Jacob Wool is to blame for his domestic violence arrest? You heard in the CBS report, woman had visible injuries on her. Said Thursday he's coming for Jacob Wool, hinting that the far-right conspiracy theorist might have been behind the arrest for the alleged domestic violence. Says, first Mueller, now me, Evan Eddy tweeted. We are fully exonerated. I am coming for you, Jacob Wolf. I know. You got your sights set towards him. Isn't it crazy how a random internet tweeter, I'm guessing your paths have never crossed in person, somehow he was there to call the police, or was it the woman that called the police? How would you like to hear that 911 tape? I wonder if that's going to get out there. The plan, which was, I don't know. It's so weird that he would blame someone for his arrest. No, not really. Let me get to Mike real quick, who's calling in from St. Louis. Mike, what's going on?
Oh, how you doing? Yes, you had on talk about cars and everything.
Yeah.
And electric cars, you heard me talk about it before. But here's what aggravates me about Missouri. Missouri is the most backward state. We're always behind. And, for example, my nephew lives in California. They already got both cars, the regular cars, electric, both, in other states, too. But we're always behind. The only thing I know that Missouri has now, this trolley that's starting to run.
Yeah.
But why are we so behind, not just on that, on everything? Why is the other states can do it, but we're always behind?
I don't know. You're talking about California. They spend a ton of money, and they're much worse financial shape than we are. They waste a lot of money, too. Plus, they got a lot more people. When you're crammed into these giant areas like Los Angeles, it's a necessity to have public transportation. So they're kind of forced to do that. It's not the same here in St. Louis where we do it for
what about the other states? It's not just California. I just so they may over talk, but I mean other states do the same thing, but we're always behind. I've heard him say something like a golf car he drive, whatever that car was. You know, it's kind of neat, but we're always behind in everything. Not just that, but I'm being honest. If you took a poll or statistics and people be honest, Missouri is the most backward state behind about everything.
Huh. The electric cars, you can get them here. It's not like you're preventing yourself from getting them.
They're not legal. They're legal everywhere else, but not here.
You can't have an electric. What are you talking about? You can have electric cars here in
Missouri. Well, I talk about the more self-driving cars. You cannot.
Self-driving. Okay.
I checked it. We're not legal, but other states they are.
Well, what you got to do is pass. They're going through the regulatory stage, so you have to be able to get some sort of the cities on board. They got to pass it so you can go test the cars in the cities. So they're not really approved for just like mass rollout here in the United States anywhere. It's just the individual cities that allow it for testing.
Well, they're a lot faster. We're still behind because they're already doing it. That's what gets me. And the reason I think it would be good if they had them. Now, think of the handicapped people. Most of these cars, now people worry about being safe. You can keep your cars and drive with your wheels. If you prefer that, I think that's fine. But if they worry about hitting people, if you take the statistics, they said actually humans driving hit more people than self-driving cars do.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's not enough sample size. There's only been a few self-driving cars tested compared to how many people are on the roadways every day. Yeah, small
sample
size.
Okay, but I think it would be a plus if we had both. I really do, because it can help the handicap and if they get separated.
That's where they're moving towards. They're still testing it. They got a little ways to go before they roll something like this out. But
they're slow. Everybody else passed the test. They're still behind. How long does it take them?
Who else are you saying passed the test?
I just about every other state they're doing it. Just about they're already legal. Most of them, I can't name all the states illegal, and I've seen what are legal. I forget all the names they call, and you can buy one. But up here, it's not legal. It doesn't make any sense. But not just self-driving cars. They're behind on everything. Missouri to me, and I honestly believe this. And I wish you took a poll. The statistics are behind on everything.
Okay,
I'm tired of excuses.
All right, thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Bye bye.
All right, Mike wants himself a self-driving car tomorrow. Wants to go out and get himself a self-driving car. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I found this other story pretty fascinating in Canada. So I don't know how you can be an atheist minister. That doesn't make sense to me. How's that even possible? And who in their right mind would look for guidance in their faith from an atheist? That doesn't make sense either. We'll talk about that coming up, too. And we'll keep things open for you. Just like Mike, if you want to wonder why, you know, who's keeping down the electric car? Who makes Steve Guttenberg a star? It's the Stonecutters. Maybe it's the Stonecutters keeping down the self-driving car. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Producer producer Ben, have there been any ghost sightings the last couple of nights when I've been gone? Just had a ghost feeling here in the studio. Heard some rustling of papers in the studio as if Jim White was still around. And then I felt a little chill go down my spine. The ghost of KMOX, it's real, it's here. Or the air. You're saying you think it's the air? Stop being scientific with it. I don't think that was the bustling of papers. I've never heard that way before. Keep an eye out. There might be a ghost roaming around here, Ghostbuster style. Is there a number to call for Ghostbusters? There was a number that they had on their screen in the commercials that they ran on that movie. I wonder what that was. That'd be the ultimate trivia question. All right, I found this story on The Blaze. I don't know how you can be an atheist minister. It does not make sense. An atheist minister in a Christian denomination got to keep her job leading a congregation after several years of turmoil that could have led to a heresy trial later in the month. Her name is the Reverend Greta Vosper. She's free to minister at the West Hill United Church in Toronto after a confidential settlement with the denomination. I don't understand that. What I don't get... Oh, is that the number for Ghostbusters? Can you call that and see if that number is anything? Producer Ben? Yeah, call it on the phone over there. Let me know. It's an 800 number. It's got to be like a Hollywood type of deal. Here's, if you're in a church right now and your leader is an atheist, you know what? Leave that church. I'm telling you right now. You could, I guess, go talk to them about your concerns first. But I got to imagine you're not going to have a productive meeting. You could address your concerns. And if you're going to a place and your faith is being guided by a person who doesn't believe in a God, then get out of there now. I'm telling you, for your own good, for your own soul. I don't exactly know why they... It sounds like the church was trying to kick her out, as in she's got some tenured role. Why wouldn't a church be able to kick out a leader that they vote on and say, sorry, you know, we're going in a different direction? There's church splits. There's churches that have done the vote and decide they need a new pastor. That happens all the time. It says, we'll be out from underneath the heavy cloud. Now we'll be able to really fly. She's 60 years old, ordained in 93, and served as West Hills minister since 97, has been upfront about her atheism and non-belief in the Bible for years. How are you? Then you're not running a church. You're running a club of people pretending to go to church. It's not a church at that point. I mean, that's the way the leadership is structured for you. It says, in her sermons each Sunday, Vosper spoke openly about how she did not believe the Bible was the authoritative word of God for all time, conviction she's held long before being ordained, and one that is not uncommon among United Church of Canada clergy. Yeah, this is in Canada. Canada's so weird when it comes to their, because they don't, their religious freedom's not really a thing like it is here in the United States. It's freedom of speech, not really a thing. I mean, when you put panels together that could fine you or jail you for the things you say, you really don't have freedom of speech. Vosper used words one Sunday morning in 2001 when she could no longer tolerate a contradiction she believed was there just because her own interpretation of the prayers was metaphorical. She realized didn't mean the people in the pews knew that. And so in her sermon that day, Vosper came out to her congregation. She made it clear that she did not believe in God, a supernatural being who intervenes in human affairs. So she's basically created her own, like her own religion. That's what happens. If you want to go off and spew your own whatever, then you're creating your own religion. I think that if you're a denomination and you see this is going on, then you pull your name from that. Like, we don't want to be associated with that. So this is where splits happen. She's got to come off and just split off and create her own church if that's what she believes and see if people follow. But instead, she's trying to hijack whatever this denomination is and sit there and try to justify her own beliefs as opposed to holding the beliefs of whatever that denomination is. Not really how it works. You know, unfortunately, the people that are sitting in those pews, if they're not wise enough or are not able to be self-aware of how damaging and destructive that can be, I mean, they're purposely being led by someone that doesn't believe in God. And if they want to sit and do that, hey, you know, that's their freedom to do that sort of thing. But they got to know. They got to know that if they have a problem with that, they got to go somewhere else for their own family's well-being. Go somewhere else. I think that's ultimately what should happen. It's so weird, isn't it? I guess you can call yourself anything if you really want. You know, I saw this other story too. Sour Patch cereal? I don't know if I want this or not. It says Reese's Puffs were seriously ahead of its time because everyone loves Reese's, so they made the Reese Puff cereal. Apparently, there's going to be a Sour Patch Kids cereal that comes out, and it's supposed to taste like Sour Patch Kids. And it's even made by Post, which is one of the biggest when it comes to cereal brands. It says the snack-centric Instagram account Candy Honey posted a blurry photo of Sour Patch Kids cereal box. Authenticity 100%, they said. First, it doesn't look like a fan mock-up, so people were thinking this was just a hoax, but not really. There's no word yet on whether Sour Patch Kids, the cereal, is tart like the Sour Patch Kids candy, or if the kid-shaped pieces are fruit-flavored, sour coating to a sweet finish. Apparently, it's going to be available Wednesday, December 26, and then it's going to be rolled out in places like Walmart nationwide early 2019. So we're just a couple of months away from Sour Patch Kids cereal. You know you want to try it, right? I would give it a try if it was like a fun-sized. I wouldn't want to buy a full box and be disappointed. There's been a lot of cereals I've been disappointed. I basically buy the exact same cereals over and over and over again. I like Life. I like Crispex. And I like Cracklin' Oat Bran. I haven't had that in years, but man, that was one of my favorite cereals. It hurt your jaw eating that one. But I just buy the same ones over and over and over. My kid likes cereal too. He's a big fan of Lucky Charms, where he'll eat just the marshmallows. He'll pick around it. And then if he's still hungry, he'll eat the rest of it. I don't know what I would do if I got him the Sour Patch Kids. We had the most tame reaction to Sour Patch Kids. My wife, after we went through the trick-or-treating or whatever, we had some little Sour Patch Kids packets. We thought, oh, this will be fun. We'll film him eating his first Sour Patch Kids. He'll make the face. We'll get a laugh out of it. We'll show the grandparents. So here we go. Go ahead, eat it. And he eats it, and he starts chewing it up, and he says, that's pretty good. I like that. That was it. No reaction. Just, I like that. We said, is it sour? He goes, yeah, a little. Okay, way to let us down. All right, another hour of Overnight America coming up. I got Tell Me Something Good. Oh, we got some really good stories to share with you. I got a couple good ones for you. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. You know, it's funny that you put this song in, Producer Ben. Is there any reason why you put this in? It's a good end music song. You know, this is one of Amy Markscore's favorite songs. I can see her out there running to a song like this. Don't you cry no more. Amy is one of the smartest, most intelligent people I have ever met in my life. And she rocks out to this. Oh, we're going to 5750? Okay, we got a minute or two. That's okay. But I don't have any Sour Patch cereal to try. We're going to have to get our hands on some of this. Yeah, she's a big fan of these songs. I get it. I totally understand. This was classic. Staple music for classic rock radio. You know, last couple of days I had a really good time filling in during the day. It was weird being around when everyone else was here. I noticed that we work with some real weirdos, man. But I like weirdos. So we'll keep the phone lines open for you next hour, too. If you want to text in, you can. Something good. Also next hour, if you missed it, my conversation with Charlie Brennan. I had a great sit down with him because I was here during the week to hang out with him. So we're going to just talk shop, talk radio coming up. And artificial intelligence tries to create their own inspirational posters. What do you think a computer believes are inspirational phrases? We'll get to that too on Overnight America, KMOX.
Protect your your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.